good. Hebrews chapter 11, that'd be good also. And I want to speak a little bit about Rahab. Again, I got two notes this week. And again, we have a very, very good program for what words go on the board out here. And I got two notes this week of sayings that almost made it to the board, but in the last editing process, they got shut down. And the one note that they were thinking about putting on the board out here was, every sermon should have a good beginning and a good conclusion, and not too much in between those two. But we edited that, and it did make it to the board, okay? We got that, so it didn't make it to the board out there. And then the other one was, if you took all the people who fell asleep in the Sunday morning sermon and laid them end to end, they'd be a whole lot more comfortable. But we edited that one also, so you're not going to find that one on the board, okay? But they didn't make it through the process there. I do like this, though, something that happened, and it was on Wednesday, and I got to see it. I wish I would have taken a picture, but I didn't, and again, it wasn't something that anybody fabricated, but and I don't know the exact words on the sign out here. I can't remember them, but they're pretty close to that. Again, the blood of Jesus Christ washes us as white as snow. I don't think it's quite those words, but the blood of Jesus Christ washes us as white as snow. Again, when we came up here to work on the driveway, the snow plow had probably plowed the snow so hard that snow had gone up and hit the sign, and the word snow had a snowball on it, and you couldn't read the word snow. It's just the way it happened. And it said, the blood of Jesus Christ washes us as white as, and there was a snowball or whatever on the sign where the word snow should have been. I didn't go over and do that. It was just a snow plow that did it. So pretty good object lesson, is it not? And you couldn't read it. It has since fallen off. But at that point in time, all it was snow, and you couldn't quite see it there. But again, the blood of Jesus Christ does wash as white as snow. I don't think that's exactly the way the word is on the sign, but I know that's the idea behind it, and God gave us a fitting, did he not, illustration of what that means. Wanted to talk about Rahab. Again, I was reading the book of Hebrews and going down through Hebrews 11, and one of the things I have to do sometimes reading something like Hebrews 11, maybe you don't, maybe you do, I've got to slow myself down when I read the passage. Because otherwise, I'm familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, and I just go through it so fast. In fact, at one time, I had Hebrews chapter 11 memorized. And so when you read it now, you just go fast. You know it's all there. And so I have got to slow myself down. Because I read too fast, and when you read too fast, sometimes what happens is you miss information you should see, and you think you know it all, but you don't. So in reading Hebrews chapter 11, and reading about the different people who are in the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Fame of Faith, however you want to say it, again, I came upon Rahab, and just kind of stopped to ponder on her for a little bit. I mean, stop and think about the people that she is on the list with. I mean, people like Enoch that walk with God, and what wonderful thing happened to him that one day he was out with God. And I tell people it kind of went this way in the conversation. God just said, you know, Enoch, we've been walking so long together. I think we're closer to my house than your house. So let's just go to my house tonight. And he just went on to heaven is what happened. He was translated, for he was not. Other people you have on there, people like Noah. A man who had a good testimony, a preacher of righteousness, the Bible calls him, and taught for 120 years the righteousness of God, and tried to get people saved, and built the ark all by faith. And then you move into people like Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, which we call the patriarchs of the faith. And of the Hebrew nation. What wonderful men. And then again, you might come to the, maybe some people would consider maybe the I don't know, maybe the best person of the Old Testament, or one of the most famous or strongest, Moses. You come to Moses. You tell me who you think your favorite character is of the Old Testament, what man did more, but, you know, anybody who picks Moses and said, you know, he is probably, you know, the strongest figure of the Old Testament, you'd have a good argument, would you not? Very good argument. And then you have people like Moses. And again, just good people in there. Joseph is in there. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of all these people who are the pillars and foundations of our faith and have done so much, we run into a lady by the name of Rahab, right there in Hebrews 11:31. And before we even get to her name, what is mentioned about her? By faith, what? The what? Harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And all of a sudden, among all these pillars, and not saying that those men were perfect, they weren't. Okay, each of them had their flaws and did different things, but again, we all of a sudden run into this lady, and it just stops me, makes me think, well, you know, here she is, and you know, if I have a bad idea that she doesn't belong on the list, then I need to get some studying going on here to find out why she does belong on the list, and again, why she needs to be here, and the greatness of her faith. So let's have a word of prayer, and let's look at the faith then of Rahab. Father, I pray you might help us as we study Rahab. Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand about her. Lord, give us great understanding then of gospel truths that are applying to us even here today. And then go out and help us to live the same faith that Rahab had. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we have here a person by the name of Rahab. Notice she's a harlot. I'd like to take it for granted that everybody knows the story. I want to thank Ken for reading the 7 verses. But in Joshua chapter 2, it goes on even further than that. Again, as the spies came in, she hid them. You'll find out as you continue in Joshua 2, and you might have it open there, you'll find out that she knew about the greatness of God. And she is saying, those of us on this side of the river, by the way, the children of Israel were still on the other side of the Jordan. They were still on the east side. They had not yet crossed and come into the land yet. But she tells the spies, we've heard about you people. We've heard about what you've done to King Og and King Sihon. And we've heard about the battles that God has helped you win. And we know your strength. And that's why when these men walked in her door, she decided to help them. Because she heard of their exploits on the battlefield and how God had taken care of them. And so she hid them. And sure enough, as Ken ended the reading of his narrative, they had shut the gates. And here the men are trapped in the city of Jericho. Okay, they're trapped. There's not an easy way out. And sure enough, her house is on the wall, and so she takes a cord and lowers the cord down, and while they are looking for the men elsewhere, and some men have run up into the mountains to try to find them, she takes these men and says, now, you know, you need to get down out of this window, climb down the cord here, and this is the way you need to run. You need to run up into these mountains and stay there for a number of days until the men who are out there looking for you come back to town. And then when everything is clear, after a number of days, then you make your way back to the Jordan River across to your nation. And so again, but as she's letting them down, she's basically asking, you know, I've done you this kindness. I've showed you this mercy. When you come and destroy this town, what about me? What about me? And sure enough, the men basically say, here's what we'll do. The same cord that you're letting us down with, again, the scarlet cord, you hang this cord. When we're done, you hang this cord from your windows, from your thresholds. And when we come into this town, the people will be instructed, whoever is inside your house when we come in will be safe. They'll be secure. We will not kill them. And again, as she says, you know, I'd like to get my father's house in here with my brothers and sisters and other members. And they say, that's okay. Everybody that you get in this house when we come back, you'll be secure. Sure enough, the story does end that when they come back, and they march around the city, what is it, 13 times, 6 times, 6 days they go once, on the 7th day they go 7 times. I tell people that's quite a physical exploit to do that. I mentioned this one time preaching on it. I know that I've run a race. I run a race in Belfont. It's called Herbie's Hometown Loop. Some have run it with me. You've heard of it. Mr. Herb Street, who died in the Virginia Tech massacre, he used to run around Belfont, and this was one of his favorite runs, they say. And you run around Belfont, on the streets of Belfont, and you don't even run all the way around Belfont, you basically run in Belfont. And as you run in Belfont, kind of going around it, it's a 4-mile run. Well, let's just say that Jericho is about the size of Belfont, all right? How long does it take to get around one time? 4 miles. Anybody here walk 4 miles an hour? If you do, you're walking fast. Put a treadmill on 4 miles an hour. You're going to stay with it. Okay? So if you can do 4 miles an hour, and Jericho is the size of Belfont, 7 times in one day is how many miles? 4 times 7 is 28 miles. What's a marathon? 26. So these people on the last day, if Jericho is the size of Belfon, and some of you might think that's a little what? Small? How far did they walk on that last day? Folks, they did a marathon on that last day. And when they blew the trumpets and screamed and yelled, what happened? The walls fall flat. And as we read the story, everybody in Jericho died except for those who had gathered inside that home where the scarlet cord kept them safe. Anybody think there's significance that it was scarlet? Scarlet. I think it reminds us of the blood of Christ and the mercy that comes along with that. And so again, they are safe as she's got people in there. Again, that's what we know about Rahab. We do know a little bit more about her from the Bible, and we'll get to that. But again, she kept the spies safe. The 2 spies hit them in the thatch roof and then sent them over the wall down on the rope and told them where to go and hide so they'd be free. And they made it back safely. And the men then kept their promise to her to save her family. Now, I want to look at Rahab and see this lady. What was it about her and the faith that she had? Again, the first thing I would give you, Rahab's faith was a saving faith. Now, I'm going to need a little help when this is all done. So y'all put your thinking caps on. I got 5 points. 4 of them start with S. I don't care how hard I worked, I couldn't get that 5th one to come up with an S. So if I throw it out to you all and say, look, I want to have a 5-point sermon, all of them start with an S, then you help me. And I didn't want to come up with, I just couldn't find a word, and I think it's better to just go with a word you understand than to make one up. But the first one, I didn't have to look too far, but it was a saving faith is what it is here. Again, go with me if you will. Again, to Hebrews 11, verse 31, please. Hebrews 11, verse 31, when you come there and just look at what this lady is up against. So that maybe you can understand, and again, I want to try to put a few things in perspective when it comes to Rahab. Notice the faith of Rahab. It says there in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab, and the next 2 words are what? Perished not. Without her faith, she would have died. If she would have been in that town and these 2 men came walking in and they said to her, you know what, we need some help. We need you to help us. They're looking for us. Could you protect us? We're Israelites. And she'd say, you know, I'm not helping you. In fact, I'm going to start blowing my whistle right now. I'm going to call 911 and I'm going to have you guys arrested and put in jail for who you are. And they're probably going to kill you. Okay. Later, when the Israelites came into the land and the walls fell flat, somebody tell me what would have happened to Rahab. She'd have died. It was a saving faith. Now, here's where I go, and again, I know that the other men's names that I have mentioned here in this passage, that their faith saved them, and I mean literally saved them. But if you look at some of the things that some of these men did by faith, it wasn't as drastic as what Rahab was up against. Really. Rahab was facing death. And she put her faith in the God of Israel, in God, Jehovah God, and it saved her from perishing. Again, there's other men here that when you look at it, Jacob, look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, I just go ahead and look, if you will, with Jacob. Great man, did a lot of great things. But when you stop and look at it, this event that mentions his faith, did it involve life and death? Okay? It really didn't. He's an old man. He's about 175 years old at this point in time. He's going to die. Anybody here plan on making it to 175? Okay? He knows death's around the corner. But God asked him to do something. He said, you know what? Just before you die, when you bless Joseph's children, don't you put the big blessing on the oldest one. You put the big blessing on his youngest son. So consequently, when Joseph brought the 2 sons up there, he organized them so that Manasseh would be on Jacob's right. And then Ephraim would be over here, and Jacob would get the what? Jacob would put the bigger blessing on Manasseh. But you know what? God said, you know what, when you bless those boys, don't you put the big blessing, the power of the right hand, on Manasseh. You put on Ephraim. So consequently, what did he do when it was time to bless them? He crossed his hands. realizing that, you know what, I know that God has said Ephraim is going to be much stronger and bigger than Manasseh. And we're talking about the tribes to come. Consequently, there are times in prophecy in the Bible, the northern 10 tribes are referred to as Ephraim, because Ephraim dominated that nation up there. And the blessing came true. Ephraim became the stronger one. You never hear of Israel being referred to as Manasseh. It's not done. But you hear him being referred to as Ephraim. So consequently, watch, he believed God, and he did what God told him to do, but it wasn't a matter of life and death. All he had to do was what? Cross his hands and put the bigger blessing here and put the smaller blessing here. And that's what it was, okay? You can see that Joseph was there, and by faith he told them, look, when you people leave the land of Egypt, don't forget to take my bones, okay? Because you are leaving this place because God said so, and I know that everything God said has always come true, okay? Every time God has ever spoken to me, it came true, okay? Just a real quick history of Joseph. Does anybody know some things that God told Joseph? He said, people are going to bow down to you. Did it happen? Yeah. He told Joseph kind of also, there's going to be some really good years. And then there's going to be some what? Really bad years. Did it come true? Yeah. And so Joseph said, I believe God. And God said, you guys are leaving this place. Because he told my, was it great-grandfather, that you're only going to be here for about 400 years and then you're leaving. He told him that and I believe him. So take my bones when you go. Life and death matter? Not really. Come back to Rahab. I'm trying to show you, why is she on the big list of people that trusted God? Because in a life and death matter, she put her trust in God. Now watch this. Israel, who are they? A bunch of ex-slaves over in the desert. We're Jericho. We have this huge city with walls. If they attack us, there's no way they're going to beat us. But she knows God is with them. It takes a whole lot more faith right now to trust that Israel is going to win this battle than who? Jericho. Life and death matter. So when it comes down to, well, why is Rahab on here with faith that she had? Because I'm telling you, she's in a huge situation. And you know what? The odds are, stick with Jericho. Stick with Jericho. You'll probably come out of this situation a whole lot better. And she went against the odds and said what? I'm going with God. So you can see here that she had a saving faith that saved her from death. Again, let me give you a couple of verses here. I just put them up there so you can put them down here. Also, we need to have the faith of Rahab to save our souls. Psalm 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Look at the saving faith of Rahab. Again, you can judge people the way you want to judge them, and we do it, okay? I heard Ken do it, but you talked about guys that kind of live pretty bad lives. We kind of judge people, but we've all lived bad lives. There's none righteous, no, not one. So, but we do this, do we not? Okay? And it's kind of like, you know, here's a guy by the name of Abraham, you know, and oh, he's a pretty good guy. You know, God said, go out and count the stars. I've made promises to you, Abraham. And God said, and Abraham said to God, I believe you. He saved him. Okay? Good guy. Then there's Rahab the what? Harlot. Wow. What a terrible person. I mean, in the Hall of Fame of Faith, we got Joseph, born in a Christian home. You know, and some people have said this. I've heard people say that the Bible never mentions one sin that Joseph ever did. Has anybody ever heard that? I've heard that Joseph was one of the people in the Bible that's never mentioned that he sinned. Now, we know he did. It's just not recorded. Who's the other one I heard? Was Daniel? That they really don't come up with sins that these guys committed. Good guys. Put their faith in God. Great. Rahab the harlot? Wow. How low is she? How bad is she? But you know what? When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. Folks, it doesn't matter how sinful Rahab was, all her sins were forgiven. And rightly so, she belongs on this Hall of Fame of Faith. Because she had faith to trust God, even in her sin, and trust God through the terrible situation she is in. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as Whoa, kind of neat that we got snow out there today, is it not? God washes people as white as snow. The faith of Rahab was a saving faith. It took her from ever how far down she was. And by the way, don't judge her too bad, because the Bible says in James, if you've broken one law, one sin, you've what? You broke them all. You're guilty of all. So she's no lower than we were, but you know what? God's arm is not so weak and God's arm is not so short. It's strong and long, and it doesn't matter how down in the depths of sin we have gone. God picks us up and puts us on a rock, and He washes our sins as white as snow. It's a saving faith. So again, when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, don't do what I did. Maybe you never did anyway, but don't think of Rahab being a second-class Christian. Because, folks, when God saves us, He saves every bit of us. And every promise that's going to Abraham is also going to us. We're going to sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Our sins washed as white as snow. How great is salvation? How great is the plan that God has for us? And it's all by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're as bad as Rahab. You're as bad as I am, because I'm as bad as she is. We're all sinners. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all your sins are forgiven. She had a saving faith. She perished not. But let's go on to the next one here. Oh, it's not this one. I found the nest for this one. She had a standing faith. A standing alone faith. She is in the whole town of Jericho. How many people are of the same mind as she is? I don't know how many people were in Jericho. I don't know how many people it housed. At least thousands. At least thousands. And she's the only one that what? Stood with these people. Oh, they all heard the same message. There's Israelites. They're coming up around Moab. They've come out of Edom. They're coming up around Moab. They're coming up through Bashan. They're headed towards the Jordan River, and we're on the other side. It looks like they're coming this way. Can you believe all the things that they've done? Again, they have their faith and trust in God. And we've kind of rejected Him. And the whole country basically is against her. And she says, you know what? I'm going with God. I don't care what anybody else does. Again, Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 is a familiar verse. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found what? None, the Bible says. I didn't find anybody that would stand in the gap. Here is a lady living among thousands, and she stood alone in her faith. Stood alone. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. Doesn't matter what everybody else is believing right now. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. It's a stand-alone faith. Again, as the world goes on, and I come down to this. I don't know that I've ever been put in a situation quite as critical as Rahab was, where an entire town or an entire city or an entire nation at this point in time is against me. Everybody is going on a different idea. Everybody else is standing on a different belief or doctrine. And here I am standing all alone. And I'm telling you, the reason why somebody like Rahab needs to be on the list of the Hall of Fame of Faith, though her entire city was against her, she stood right where she was and believed it. Again, that's pretty good, is it not? That takes a lot of faith. I don't know. What's it take for you to bend your faith? Just one person disagreeing with you? You know, there's Christians that get one person that disagrees with them, all of a sudden they're what? They're making excuses for their Christianity. You know, they're not standing as strong as they should. Well, you say, well, I've never bent for one. Have you bent for two? Now you got two people looking at you. Oh, now it's getting a little harder, is it not? Could you imagine a whole city? And she stood. You know what? If you go out and take a public opinion poll in Jericho right now, it all would have voted what? We're not trusting in this God. We don't believe what He said. These people aren't coming on here. Now, we can put the sick and lame and hauled up on the top of this wall, and they'll fight the battle for us and win. We don't need God. And yet she stood. She stood. I don't know what came her way. Could you imagine after she hung the crimson rope in her windows, somebody says, Reb, what's with the rope in the windows? How many of you think she goes, oh, it's nothing. Oh, just thought I'd redecorate. I just thought, came up with some crazy idea. I saw it on the Home and Garden channel. What do you think she said to people? I'm going to tell you what. They're coming. Everybody in here is going to be destroyed. God's with them. If you want to live, get in here. You're crazy, Rahab. You always have been. Something's going wrong with you. She stood against them all. So again, I tell people, what a faith. A standing alone faith. I just put the plea out, I'll move on. Anytime you're in a situation and you're looking somebody in the eye that disagrees with you, stand. Stand. Don't compromise. Don't make excuses. Just stand. Does that make sense to everybody? You know what? Rahab did. And watch this. What kind of education did she have at this point in time? What kind of church training do you think she had? Did she go through truth trackers? Come up through the Sunday school? Didn't have a whole lot, did she? But she stood alone. May God help us to stand alone. Let's go on to the next one. Nope, don't need help with this one. Okay? But it was a sightless faith. You know, maybe somebody asked them, you know what? Those Israelites, they're just a bunch of former slaves. They probably don't even have the armaments they need to get over our walls. They don't have the battering rams. They don't have the catapults, the ramparts. How are they going to do this? How are they going to destroy us? Come on, Rahab. You think they're going to win? How are they going to do it? What's her answer? Now, really, what's her answer? I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't know. Because you got to remember this, okay? When she started hanging the cord and maybe the questions started coming, okay, the idea comes this way, that the Israelites are still on the other side of the river. And God doesn't tell Joshua what they're going to do until they get on the other side. So at this point in time, nobody knows how it's going to happen. Not even Joshua has any idea. And could you imagine Joshua when God said, hey, are you guys good at marching? You guys good at marching? It's all you got to do. March quiet. Okay, you guys just march quiet. For 1 week, just march. And I'll take care of the rest. And Joshua's like, okay, God, but there's got to be more to the plan than that. No, that's it. You just march. Be quiet. I'll take care of it. And Joshua's like, okay. All right? But now you're Ahab. You don't even have those plans. You're just like, come on, Rahab, how's it going to happen? I don't know. Can I say this? There are things in our Christian life, because we believe in God, we really don't know how He's going to do it. We really don't know how He's going to do it. Does that mean we stop believing? Don't go to reason, folks. Keep trusting God. I don't know how God's going to do things. I don't know. Okay? Talking to my daughter the other day, and she just made the mention, and I said, she goes, boy, God's already got this figured out. And I said, yeah, and don't you just wish He'd tell you now how He was going to do it? Don't you just wish He'd tell you now? And she goes, yes. And I said, but that's what living by faith is, just a step at a time. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Got a few verses up there, do I not? We walk by faith and not by sight. She had a sightless faith. That's where I get it from. Again, moving on, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's a lady that didn't even know what the New Testament said. Wasn't written yet. Yet she understood. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. Don't ask me the details. And I could even imagine, okay, that as those people were walking around, maybe some people came to Rahab and said, Rahab, this is what they're going to do? March around this city? You still think it's going to happen? Uh-huh. How? I don't know. Could you imagine if she would have even told them how it was going to happen? When they're done marching, they're all going to yell and blow their trumpets. And they're going to yell and blow trumpets so loud the walls are going to fall down. And they would have said, oh, that makes sense. Okay? Oh, that really makes sense. That's right up along with I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll... Okay? Is it not? And could you imagine people coming to her and yet she says what? I still believe it. Okay? I don't understand it all. You know? And even if I have to stand alone, I'm going to do it. But folks, that huff and puff when God does it... By the way, if you'd ask the Israelites, when God huffs and puffs, what's it do? It parts the sea. So if God's got a huff and puff on this city, we're pretty sure things are going to happen. Okay? But you know, we don't always have all the answers, do we not? Okay? Again, we go to this. When I go to these verses like this, I got to think of Jason. Okay? I think of Jason because this is Thomas. Okay? And basically this is where Jesus turns to Thomas and says, Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and what? Still believe, and yet believe. And again, I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know how it all happens. I don't know what God's going to do. I'm just going to trust Him. I don't see the end here standing at the beginning. In fact, I'm halfway through it and I still don't see the end. But God's going to do it. That's the faith we have to have. And sometimes the world makes fun of us because we do trust in a God, and it does take sightless faith. Do they not? Okay. I haven't really gotten through all that happened Tuesday night in the debate or whatever. But I can understand, well, the world looks at some of the things that were said by Ken Ham and they don't understand it. And when he kept saying, but there is a book. There is a book. But what's their answer to it? We don't believe the book. We don't believe the book. Well, folks, believe the book. And we don't need all the evidence world. Faith is something to hope for, the evidence of things not seen. She didn't have the answers. But I tell people, could you imagine a little bit later when Joshua has fallen and her house is still standing and she could say to the people, I got the answer now. Y'all want to know how it was going to happen? I got the answer now. Okay? The only problem was for all those people, it was too late. Too late. Here's the one I need help with. I just don't have an S. Folks, this was a working faith. It was a working faith. If you're in Hebrews 11, or you can still do it, go to the book of James, please. Go to the book of James, and we'll go to chapter 2. James chapter 2, go to verse 25. This is another place where Rahab is mentioned. I think I said something about my sermon being 5 points long. Did I say that? I lied. I think it's got 6 now that I look. I have 5 S's is what I have. Are you there in James 2:25? In like manner also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? Again, if you know the context of James, this is not teaching that you get saved by works. Doesn't teach it at all. It's not even close to teaching it. It's just teaching that once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it produces something. Okay? It produces something. And the something that it produces does not make you more saved. You are as saved as you can be by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Again, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know the next verse? We always quote Hebrews 2, 8, and 9, and we forget there's a verse 10. Because after it mentions good works in verse 9, it says that God has before ordained that we should walk in good works. See, it goes on to say, no, you're not saved by them, but once you are saved, you'll do them. Faith produces good works. Good works does not produce faith. I think all of us know that. But here's the thing. When it goes in the New Testament, and James is trying to show Christians, when you have saving faith, it changes your life. Okay? She's got the whole Old Testament to choose from. Okay? She does find Abraham and talks about Abraham. But who's the other person she picks there in verse 25? Rahab. A person who, when she had faith, it produced something. Now, the production that was produced here for her was when she knew that God was going to do a great work here, she received the messengers, it says in verse 25, and then she led them down the cord around the wall and said, you guys need to go that way. Those other guys are looking for you over here. You go that way. It produced something. She did something about it. She helped these people. Again, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, don't tell me you don't ever do something good. You got to. It produces something in your life. Because faith, if it has not works, is dead. Being alone. And so we have an example. You know, I've used this illustration because it impacted me the first time I ever saw it on TV. I thought it was pretty good. It was James Earl Jones and his big voice. Everybody knows who James Earl Jones. And he stood there in a commercial and he said, if I believe lightning was going to strike where I'm standing, I'd move. And as soon as he said move, lightning hit where he was standing. And I thought about that. That's a pretty good illustration of what? If I believe something to be true, it ought to change me. It ought to change me. You know, here's Rahab saying, well, you know, guys, I believe God's going to do a great work here. I really believe it. But you know what? I'm not helping you. Because it could cost me my life. Count me out at this point. Oh, I believe it. I'm just not acting on it. She believed it and then said what? This could get really risky. Could be really dangerous. But I believe God is with you guys. So come on in here. I got a place you can hide and I'll help you. Okay? And she did. Because faith does produce some kind of working out. Faith produces fruit. It has to. And so you can see here that it's a working faith. It works out. It does something. Okay. I hope that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but I hope somewhere along the line it did something for you. It changed you a little bit. Okay. And I don't tell people, it's not always a negative thing. It's not always, well, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I stopped doing these things. Folks, there's got to be another side to it. Maybe you stopped doing something because you got saved, but you also should what? Start doing something. Okay. It's positive also. Okay. It's not that you didn't. Okay. And I know we sing things I used to do. Don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And I understand that part of it, but it all changed. You start doing things right. And here she is, says, you know what? I believe it. And the other thing is not mentioned in James 2, but another thing she did is she hung the cord in her window. You know, I really believe hanging this cord in my window is going to save me. I really believe it. But you know what? How am I going to tell everybody what I'm doing here? I think I'll just not hang it. I know it's good, but I don't think I'll hang it. You know, I believe as soon as those guys, I just believe as soon as the last guy was off that rope, somebody tell me what was happening. It was getting cut and hung. Okay? Because she believed, I'm going to hang this stuff right now in the window and we're going to do it. So she had a working faith. And that's when, again, I couldn't come up with an S that made any sense. I even went to a thesaurus. Okay? And I don't know, the one word it gave me is a word I hadn't even heard of, slog. S-L-O-G, slog. Slog, was that slog faith? I was like, slog faith. Okay, I'll put slog faith up there, and everybody's going to look at me like, what is that? That's a sleeping frog. I don't know what it is, okay? Slog faith, okay? It's working faith. But you know what? You understand it when you get the right word in there, do you not? It produces something, is what it does. What else did she have for faith? Again, Rahab's faith, it was a sharing faith. Now watch this. She's got a house. The cord is hung in there. When Israel came back, somebody tell me what happened. She wasn't in that house alone. You can go, I believe it is, into... well, we'll do that. Go with me, please. To Joshua chapter 2. We'll read in Joshua the story here. We've got a couple minutes. It's not too long before the introduction to the sermon and the conclusion. We've got a few minutes. Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse 12, please. Joshua 2:12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Then they say, you hang this cord in your windows, and we'll take care of you. Go to Joshua chapter 6, please. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. Here's the instructions, Joshua 6:17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Go down to verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the heart alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, I don't have a number, but somebody tell me, how many people did she get into that house? Mom and dad, and then it says what? Brothers, and maybe they were married. Okay, so their wives were in there, and then she also had sisters, and they were what? Married? And because it said, and all that they had, so they could have had children with grandchildren with folks. She packed the house. She got them all to come in. Okay? Again, I don't know if any of the townspeople came in. I don't know. But I always tell people this. Go to Noah. He preached for 120 years, and I don't know what you want to say about him, and I don't know what you want to say about the townspeople, but when he got on that boat, somebody tell me who got on with him. His family. That's good. That's really good. Here she is, Rahab the harlot. Okay? And sure enough, when the battle's all done, who's alive? Her family. Can I stop and tell you something? Who's the hardest people to win to the Lord? Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's family. Because they know you. And by the way, they know Rahab. What was she? Harlot. Wow. Really a great clean testimony from little on up, right? No. Okay. But here's how I'm going to put it. She believed something so passionately. And she got the message that they're so good that her mom and dad and her brothers and sisters and her nieces and nephews, they all said what? We're coming in. We're coming in. I think I had all these verses that I just read on there, but they said basically, let's get in. Who knows what she did? Do you think she just kind of mentioned it off the cuff? No, I think she was passionate. I think she was weeping and telling them, you need to come in. What did Brother Ken say? And some having compassion, making a difference. So again, it was a sharing faith. Again, are you sharing your faith? Are you telling people you need to get on the ark? Are you telling people you need to get into the room here? Are you telling people, you know what? You need to get into Jesus Christ. You need to get into His hands. He's a good shepherd. He'll guide us safely on. Again, it was a sharing faith. And then finally, the last one I'm going to give you, I believe it was a sanctifying faith. You know what? I know it calls her Rahab the harlot, but you know that we do have a little bit more about her. Go with me to the New Testament, give you a couple verses, and then we'll get to the verse about her. Go to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to look at some verses that when you get there, you should know them. We memorized them a while ago here in the church, but I tell people what's neat about verses you memorize. You may not have them exactly memorized, but you know them. Am I right about that? You know them. Notice, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And once it's appeared, what's it do? It teaches us that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. When grace comes, it not only saves, it sanctifies. How many of you think that when Rahab and her family got to live basically outside the camp of Israel, okay, they got to live and got some land and they set them up, and this is where you live. How many of you, and I'll use these words, think she set up shop? I don't think she did. She didn't do this stuff anymore. Her name is now just what? Rahab. It sanctified her. It cleaned her up. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but He's called us unto holiness. You remember conversation with Jesus had? Maybe I got these verses up here if you want to look at them. Remember Jesus had a conversation with a lady in John chapter 8? And He asked her a question. In John chapter 8, He looked at the lady and said, where are your accusers? And she goes, there's no man accusing me. And what did he say? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Lest, He said to other people, maybe a worse thing will happen to you. Go and sin no more. You know, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's a sanctifying faith. It'll clean you up. Last verse I want to look at is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, please. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. For most of you, it's on the first page of the New Testament. Right about that? Again, as you get there at verse 1, the book of generations of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look there at the generations of Jesus Christ. When you get to verse 5, what it says, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot who? Jesse. And Jesse begot David the King. Who is Boaz? There's a whole book about him, isn't there? But we don't call the book after his name. We call it after his wife's name. What do we call it? Ruth. You know what? When you look here, Boaz had a mom. Well, perhaps everybody has a mom, yeah? But we know her mom. It was Rahab. Wow. If you know a little bit, okay, you'll know that, again, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth are all in the time period there. There we have Rahab found, and I can put it this way, a husband in the tribe of Judah, and he was a prince. He was a prince. And sure enough, being a prince, got married, had a child, Boaz. We know he was pretty wealthy, do we not know? I mean, this is a good family. She married into a good family. Why? Because you know what? Her former life was behind her now. Not doing that stuff anymore. And God took her from the house of ill repute into, if you want to put it this way, a wealthy home. A nice home. Okay? And where is she today? Somebody tell me where she is. She's not just in Salmon's home. She's now in what? God's house. All the way. From here to here, all the way to heaven. You know what? She became a princess, if you want to put it that way, in the tribe of Judah. But you know what? What's even more important, I just mentioned this and I'm done. Later, through history, there's going to be a baby born. His name was Jesus, and he's going to call her great, 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 great something, grandma. Can you imagine that? Rahab the harlot into the family of Jesus. I'm going to give you something that's even a little harder to believe than that. You, me, into the family of Jesus, into the family of God. Isn't that a hard thought? We don't deserve it. It doesn't make sense that he should do it. But God so loved the world. Jesus came and died that we have everlasting life. And you know what? He gave us the power to become the what? Sons of God. So I tell people, why is Rahab in Hebrews chapter 11? Because it took a lady from down here and took her as high as you can go. All by faith. Do you have that faith in God? I hope you do. Father, I pray you might be with us. Thank you for somebody like Rahab. And Lord, really when we look at Rahab, it's really looking at the great God that we have. Because he can take any sinner from any position, from any life, from any lifestyle, from anywhere. And Lord, you can save us, clean us up, sanctify us, and get us fit for heaven, all because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Not anything that we've done, but Lord, all that Jesus has. Now, Lord, I pray that once you've saved us, you'd help us to work out our salvation, which means get busy about doing things that we need to do, because a saving faith is a faith that produces fruit. Lord, thank you for Rahab, her great example. But Lord, more important, we thank you that you're a great God that loved Rahab and saved her along with us. In Jesus' name, amen.